church bill. It's where I found Jesus.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. Thank you very much for listening. Still to come on the program this morning, State Senator Chris Elliott, Association of County Commissions of Alabama, Sonny Brassfield, and our usual Friday guest, April Marie Fogle of Alabama Today, all that and more. 251-343-0106 if you would like to weigh in on anything. Not that many takers on my John Merrill question here, but if he comes out and he's... says he's a remade man, and that's what it looks like is going on here. Would you consider voting for him on any ballot, a Republican primary ballot or a general election ballot? Let us know what you think about that. Joining us now, very excited to bring on my guest, first time I've had him on since I'm making the move to Mobile, but always pleased to talk to State Representative Chris Pringle. Representative, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you doing? I'm broadcasting live from a gas station in Grove Hill.
A lot worse places you could be other than a gas station in Grove Hill, Alabama, gas station in Piscataway, New Jersey or something, I suppose. But glad you can make time for us. Let's get right into it. You made some headlines. You may or may not be aware, but our friends at Alabama Daily News, Mary Schell, has a story out today talking about your pre-filed bill for next year's session to prevent public. This is her words, not mine. Prevent public schools from teaching or training K-12 and college students in divisive concepts. What say you? What you got in the hopper here?
It's House Bill 8, and it's pre-filed for the next session, whenever that session is. And it's just a bill that simply says you can't, in education, teach or indoctrinate our children with critical race theory. I mean, the people are waking up all around the nation as to how bad this stuff is. I mean, this is woke cancel culture going completely amok. They want to completely disregard our 14th and 15th Amendment rights, or the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act. And they want to, and if you don't agree with them, here's the craziest. They want you to be sent to a re-education camp. Think about that. A re-education camp. Don't they do that in China and Russia and North Korea? That's how bad this stuff is. Either you agree with them or you have to be sent off to a re-education camp.
I mean, they're already kind of doing that a little bit with, just peer pressure and societal pressure and saying if you don't accept this or you're not at least open to it, you're some kind of mouth-breathing redneck or simpleton. But it does seem a lot of places they want to make this just part of the curriculum and put it into law.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the federal government was making their federal employees go through critical race theory education programs. And if you didn't fully invest in it, then you went to your re-education camp. And President Trump actually stopped it. But President Biden, when he came in, he revoked President Trump's executive order and put it back into play. And so now people in the states, I mean, Florida's school board just passed a resolution banning it in Florida. Our state school board talked about asking us to ban it here in the state of Alabama and other states. I think there are 12 states have already banned critical race theory.
And with all the problems in public education in America, putting out, teaching just the basics, how to read, how to write, how to add and subtract, I'm not one of these guys that's, spends a lot of time on Common Core or whatever, but all of that seems like that should take precedent over this kind of whacked out historical theory.
And this is just indoctrination. It's just the woke culture indoctrination of our children, and that's all it is. And it needs to be stopped in its tracks. I mean, our children need to learn history, and we ought to have a open and frank discussion about history, the good, the bad. But this is not about good or bad. This is teaching our children that our nation is a bad nation, is an evil nation, and is not the great country that we live in. We are the safest, freest people in the world. And that's what our children need to learn. Now, do we have problems? Yes. Have we done bad things? Yes. But we're still the greatest nation ever in the history of the world.
Well, do you think the objective here is you indoctrinate these young people or teach them or at least expose them to these ideas, and then later in life they're what, Democrat voters? I mean, is it that simple, point A to point B, to suggest that's what's going on here?
No, they want to divide this country. I mean, the stated goal is to divide the country and divide us based on class and race, so they could destroy the United States of America. And this is just another attempt to do that. They don't want us united, you know, under the flag of our country. They want us divided so they can tear this country apart. I mean, and they use little catchphrases like, you know, you and I understand the concept of equality under the 14th and 15th Amendment. All right. Well, what they use is they use terms like equity, which sounds, we all kind of assume, well, that's, you know, that's what we're guaranteed on the Constitution. Now, their concept of equity is they want to redistribute everybody's property and their wealth. They want to take your property from you. They want to take your money and redistribute it based on their formula, what they think is fair, not what's, you know, what's equal. It's equity.
Well, it's this weird moral meritocracy that, you know, not everybody has the equal set of circumstances when they proceed in life, that we all have to be on the same ground. And that's never been really in the DNA. We put more of an emphasis on freedom, on liberty in this country than fair, right? That you can make for yourself. That's the appeal of America, that if you work hard enough and you do the right things, and over time you will get somewhere and you will be better off. And there just seems to be universally a pushback against that, that not everybody has the same abilities, so it's not fair. But and these are like discussions that they have, I guess, academic type discussions. But on the other hand, it looks to me it's just they're using it as a raw power grab as well.
Well, exactly. They play, you know, if you tell people they're a victim long enough, they begin to believe they're a victim, and they're just playing on that belief that, you know, you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim, and if you listen to us, we'll make everything equitable. We'll take care of you. And the only way that they can do that is to tear other people down. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to tear other people down in order to give what they have to other people.
And it's also very expensive. You can't just do this, on the cheap, that you take, it's like you say, there's this push to, like, it's confiscating wealth. It is, all this talk about redistribution of wealth. And we kind of talk about it theoretically, but when you really get down into the nuts and bolts of critical race theory, that's such a huge part of it.
Exactly. That's the reason why I want to stop it in its tracks. I'm here in Alabama, I can't stop it around the nation, but other states are doing this. I mean, this is a grassroots movement from all over the country, and people are upset because they're beginning to realize just how bad this stuff is. I mean, it kind of originated in ivory towers of these education elite people, but it started spreading, and it's just gotten out of control, and now we need to step up to the plate and stop it.
Well, in the origins of this stuff, we would never have thought twice about anything like this really getting into the mainstream 10, 15 years ago, right? I mean, this just seemed kind of a silly, like you said, pointy-headed academic exercise, maybe in a college classroom somewhere in the Northeast that this would be described. But are you kind of surprised that it's gotten to this point, that it's gotten so mainstream, that these left-wing orthodoxies have gotten to where they're to the point where you have to start, as a lawmaker, looking at ways to prevent them from coming into Alabama?
Well, that's true. I mean, what happens is most Alabamians are busy, you know, working and raising their family and trying to do the right thing and you know, be good citizens. But these pointed-head liberals and these bastions of higher education, they sit around and think of this garbage and start manipulating, you know, the higher education. They start manipulating government and they manipulate the press and the media. And like I said, they're very good at the words they use. And they, you know, they talk about equity, not equality. They talk about equity, and people don't catch the nuances of those words. And next thing you know, it's taking root, and it's you know, sort of like kudzu. It's spreading everywhere, and we've got to stop it.
What are you hearing from your colleagues or from anybody about this? Is this just that new? But I know this has been an issue for a little bit. I'm surprised someone hasn't really jumped on it beforehand. But it looks like you're going to run point on this, at least in the lower chamber there. But what are you hearing? What are you any response from your effort to your pre-filed bill?
Oh, it's overwhelming. My phone has blown up with people calling and thanking me for introducing this bill. They all want to get copies of it, and we're going to work. I've got several members that have already called me that want to co-sponsor the bill and work with me on it. Because, I mean, remember, you know, I mean, President Trump had signed an executive order shutting this down in the federal government. So it kind of put a lid on it for a little while. And President Biden came in and immediately removed that executive order. So it now is taking on another life. And I think that's what made people realize we got a problem. But so far, the response has been just overwhelmingly positive. I'll be curious who wants to stand up in the Alabama legislature and defend critical race theory.
Well, I think you might have some takers there. Now, I know that there was some discussion this session, and I want to say Wendell and Gavon, but talking about teaching something that was different about the origins of slavery and the role it played in the founding of America. That sounded to me like it was headed in that direction, but it does seem like there are some people in the Alabama legislature that wouldn't mind seeing it go in the opposite direction that you would like to see.
Well, that's true. But, you know, when we did that resolution supporting Israel, and certain members stood up and started making some pretty derogatory comments, they wound up just not even voting. They didn't vote no. They just didn't vote. So I'm sure that you'll have a couple members stand up and make some comments about this and support of critical race theory. But, you know, we have there'll be a majority. I'm quite confident there'll be a majority in the legislature that's going to vote to pass this bill.
Well, is that something you see a lot, that there's a lot of bluster and a lot of talk on the floor of the House? And that's never been not true, but that it's here lately, like you said, there'll be a lot of rhetoric, but when it comes time to vote, votes don't necessarily line up with the what's being said. And like you say, in this situation, there may be some pushback rhetorically, but maybe not actual, physical pushback with a vote or something of that nature.
Oh, exactly. I mean, yeah, we sit on the floor of the House for hours and hours and hours listening to debate on bills, and the people who are filibustering the bill at the end wind up voting for it. You're like, well, why do we spend 6 hours listening to this filibuster if you're going to wind up voting for the bill? But that's just the process. It's the way it works. Yeah. I tell everybody, I didn't invent the rules. I just live by them.
Well, I got you. That was a big issue. Keeping third graders that can't read at a third grade level out of the fourth grade, and having that, you know, that was controversial. We couldn't do that because COVID. That's the kind of stuff that the Democrats are really kind of wrapping themselves up in. Where did you come out on that? But do you find that kind of peculiar, that approach to education?
You know, third grade is a critical year for students. I mean, it's just absolutely critical. That's when they transition from learning to read to reading to learn. And if they're not reading at grade level, they will struggle. And if you promote them and they're not academically prepared to go, they're going to struggle. They're going to get frustrated, and the chances of them dropping out of school or failing go up exponentially. So we have to eventually say, at this point, you have to be at grade level. You have to be able to read. You have to be able to read to learn. And if you're not, I'd rather hold you back than have you drop out, because that's what happens to the vast majority of those students. They can't keep up, and they get frustrated and quit.
Yeah, just to kind of tie it in with the critical race here, I mean, I would think that getting that right would be a focus of the public schools, and not introducing, not indoctrinating, none of that. If you're not going to be able to teach these guys to read, write, and add and subtract, then why are we wasting time on these the new hop hip academic theory of the day? It just seems like some misconstrued priorities. You know, not just here in Alabama or wherever else that wants to teach this, but all throughout the country.
Well, that's just the education establishment right there. But remember, the Alabama State School Board actually discussed yesterday passing a resolution asking the legislature to ban this in the schools in Alabama. So I think the school board and then the legislature are going to walk in step on this issue, along with the citizens of the state of Alabama. I think very few people are going to be in support of us teaching critical race theory in this state.
Representative, you've been very kind with your time, and I know you're en route to Oroville, but we appreciate it, and let's talk again real soon.
Good luck, dude. Thanks, and shout out to my mother. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Thanks. So that's State Representative Chris Pringle. Very glad we could get him on the program this morning. Let's get a break in. This is the Jeff Pohler Show at FM Talk 106.5.